And producer of Flashpoints in Español is Miguel Gavilan Molina. Our technical director is Mike Biggs. For more information about the show, to listen to or download archived episodes, log on to flashpoints.net or visit our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/flashpoints. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at dennisjbernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
And good morning. Thank you for listening. It is KBOO Portland, your community radio station. We've got one more hour of specialty programming here on your Thursday morning. Next, we'll be traveling with KBOO volunteer Christopher Francisco on the Leonard Peltier Justice Ride, and that's from Oregon to Washington, D.C. And we've got a special hour-long special on that. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dookie Jam, Thursday, December 1st at 10 p.m. at Dante's in Portland. The Dookie Jam is a funk jam session that happens monthly at Dante's. Lots of funky treats for your eyes and ears, including live streaming video on Audio Globe and live streaming audio on the KBOO website. Again, that's Dookie Jam, Thursday, December 1st at 10 p.m. at Dante's, 350 West Burnside in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information about the performance and schedule can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub, Portland's neighborhood theater since 1924. Independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, and salads. Located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland. LaurelhurstTheater.com.
During the summer of 2016, a caravan traveled across the United States to raise awareness about the case of Leonard Peltier and gather support for his clemency. KBOO reporters Christopher Francisco and Brant Jorgensen joined the 10-day ride from its departure point in Banks, Oregon on July 13th, all the way to Washington, D.C. They sent audio content from the ride every day, which was used to produce a daily segment that aired on KBOO during the ride. The following program is a compilation of the daily segments produced over the summer.
This is Chris Francisco reporting for KBOO from the Peltier Freedom Ride 2016. We are traveling from Banks, Oregon to Washington, D.C. from July 12th to the 24th to create awareness of the injustice Leonard Peltier has endured and support for his clemency. Thank you to all the people who have supported Leonard Peltier over the years.
Tuesday, July 12th. The participants ready to take off for the Peltier Justice Ride 2016 and their community met in Banks, Oregon for a kickoff gathering and celebration. Barbecue and live music set the mood for the beginning of this 2 weeks journey to Washington, D.C. Christopher Francisco, KBOO volunteer and producer of the podcast Human Beings with Five Fingers, was there to meet the folks he will be traveling with on the caravan, as he reports daily for the KBOO Evening News, and to find out more about the ride and its organizers.
My My name is Marielle Batten. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And I've been working with Chauncey Peltier, helping the Peltier movement and awareness come together and keep it alive. So at the sobriety powwow on New Year's Eve, we all got together and talking with some Harley guys and started talking about to do a Peltier justice ride, you know, raise awareness across the country. Obama said he wants to see support from everybody in this country, you know, to get Leonard free. So we had this idea, and then it was just like, how? And now seeing this 7 months later all come together, and they're leaving tomorrow morning for the first annual Peltier Justice Ride, hopefully the first and only. It's beautiful to see all this support, and as everybody, you know, as they travel across the country, everybody's welcome to join at any state, at any part, whether you have a motorcycle or a car or anything, any kind of support you want to give. It's making our visions come true, and to help Leonard, because he's inside, so we have to be his voice on the outside, and we want Obama to know that we're talking to him too.
Leonard Peltier, who is Anishinaabe and Lakota, is serving two consecutive life sentences. When arrested in 1975, he was a leading member of the American Indian Movement, an advocacy group and movement fighting for Native American rights. 41 years ago, during a confrontation involving American Indian Movement members and the FBI on the Pine Ridge Reservation, two FBI agents were shot dead. Leonard was convicted for their murders, but he has always maintained his innocence. Amnesty International, who has studied his case extensively over many years, says that they remain, quote, seriously concerned about the fairness of proceedings leading to his trial and conviction. Amnesty believes that political factors may have influenced the way in which the case was prosecuted. End of quote. In 2009, Leonard Peltier's petition for release on parole was denied by the U.S. Parole Commission. According to Amnesty International, quote, he is not eligible for consideration for parole again until 2024, end of quote. Leonard Peltier has now spent over 40 years in prison and is in poor health. The Peltier Justice Ride 2016 aims to create awareness about his story and urge the public to sign a petition asking President Obama to free Leonard Peltier from prison on humanitarian grounds and in the interest of justice. The Peltier Justice Ride took off Wednesday, July 13th from Banks, Oregon, kicking off a 10-day journey to Washington, D.C. KABU reporters Christopher Francisco and Brent Jorgensen were there to capture the opening words from Chauncey Peltier, one of the sons of Leonard Peltier, an organizer of the Peltier Justice Ride 2016.
Let's just pray we have a safe journey. Let's pray that everybody in the world sees this and goes viral, and that's what Obama's asking for. So if we can make this start a new tsunami and have this go viral and Obama sees it, that's what he's asking for. My cousin Carrie Ann was there last week, visited Leonard, said he was pretty good and pretty high in spirits. And under the stress and the situation, he's been pretty grumpy lately. But that's actually pretty good news. Any day we can get a good day out of him is good. You know? But 40 years of injustice, I can't blame him. I understand that he's probably stressed and worried he's going to die in there. So, but anyways, we'll just have a good, safe journey. We won't be in no hurry.
KBOO's own Adam Carpinelli from the Prison Pipeline Collective was there in the morning to see the riders off.
We are at the kickoff event for a national tour, if you can call it that, of different vehicles, automobiles, and motorbikes that are headed from here in the Pacific Northwest. We are in Banks, Oregon, and folks are on their way to Washington, D.C. And there's this beautiful painting right here on one of the trucks that says Free Leonard Peltier, and it has the four directions on it and the beautiful painting of Leonard. So everybody cross country will see that. It says call the White House, and it has the phone number to call and all that. So this is a whole kind of consciousness raising event here.
The main focus of the Peltier Justice Ride 2016 is to make Leonard's case as visible as possible, as Adam Carpinelli described, with the hope that President Obama will be convinced that Leonard's case is important enough to be considered for clemency. In 2012, Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Got to interview Leonard Peltier on the phone while at a news conference about his case. Here is Leonard, in his own words, describing why Obama should grant him clemency.
I was wondering if you have a message for President Obama.
Concerning what?
Your situation, or the situation in the world, or your own situation.
Stop all the wars, or what? Which message are you talking about?
You can share several messages.
Okay. Well, I just hope he can, stop the wars that are going on in the world, and stop getting killing all those people getting killed, and give the Black Hills back to my people, and turn me loose.
Can you share with people at the news conference and with President Obama your case for why you should be, your sentence should be commuted, why you want clemency?
Well, I never got a fair trial, for one. I mean, my case has been throttled from the moment they had grand jury hearings. They had somebody on the grand jury hearing testifying against that I'd never met in my life. And from the extradition from Canada, they violated international laws. And then at the trial, they had admitted race. On the jury. They wouldn't allow me to put up a defense. And manufactured evidence, manufactured witnesses, tortured witnesses. The list just goes on. So I think I'm a very good candidate for after 37 years for clemency or house arrest, at least.
What would house arrest mean? And can you describe your conditions in the prison in Florida where you are right now?
Supermax penitentiary, and that's like all the rest of penitentiaries. And house arrest would be that I'd be home at house arrest. I'd probably have to wear a bracelet on my ankle, but that'd be a lot better than this. At least I could get some medical treatment then. You know, I got a real bad prostate right now, and it's just getting worse and worse. It ain't getting any better. It isn't healing itself, so. It just continues to grow better or worse.
Thursday, July 14th was day two of the Peltier Justice Ride, which made its way from Baker City, Oregon to Rupert, Idaho. After their morning yoga session, the riders hit Highway 84, ready for the 300 miles journey of the day. Despite some car troubles, dead cell phone zones, and losing each other en route, the caravan kept moving forward, and the spirits of collaboration and teamwork were high.
I think we'll do, Annie, is we'll hook up that Garmin I got in my truck.
Okay.
And we can hook that up, mm-hmm. and when we get over, you'll be the lead vehicle.
Okay. And
I have the address written down.
Yay! However you guys want to go through there. Yeah. And these guys wanted to take a break there.
Yeah.
So we're going to hang out at the truck stop.
Just to be clear, the truck stop is after Boise?
After Boise.
After Boise. And we're going straight through Boise to get to the truck stop?
No.
We're going through Boise.
We're going to go through Boise.
But if we lose each other, we'll meet at the truck stop.
Exactly. Rather than waiting inside the cities to try to have enough parking. The other thing is that your cell phones, along this route, there's a lot of dead spots where there's no tower connection, so you won't have any connection. So that's why yesterday when we kept missing each other all the time, that was through dead spots. And then all of a sudden you get to a live spot,
and then
we have messages like we've already gone bio. That's why all that happened.
Over the weekend, the Peltier Justice Ride made its way through Wyoming, Colorado, and Nebraska. On Friday morning, the caravan took off from Rupert, Idaho, and traveled 300 miles to Green River, Wyoming. Despite mosquito attacks, everyone seemed to be enjoying the ride.
That was a really remarkable sunset. I'll be thinking about that sunset for a while. Yeah. Today, we drove from the Shoshone Bannock Lands, also known as Wellcock Lake, and now we're in Wyoming. We drove about 300 miles. Media team stopped along the way to work on some social media stuff and talk about some really important issues. Beautiful drive, right? Now we're here. Camping. We had some people join our team today, and then I guess they left to go to Sundance in South Dakota. So we got the crew here. We're doing solid crew, doing really good. Everybody's watching out for each other, taking care of each other. Caravan is strong. Still looking for more people to join.
The Peltier Justice Ride is bringing awareness to the case of Leonard Peltier in an effort to push President Obama to grant him clemency. But the ride is also helping its participants make important connections between federal policies, Leonard Peltier, and their own personal struggles.
Today I came across something that I hadn't seen in Peter Mathiasen's book, In the Spirit of Crazy Horse, and I was just looking at it and it brought back something that made me realize how important Leonard Peltier was. In 1968, the United States reorganized the National Guard and created something called Operation Garden Plot. That meant that you would use the U.S. military in civil defense, the National Guard in that type of situation. And they decided in 1968 that that's what they would do. And they contemplated using that against Leonard Peltier and the folks at Wounded Knee in 1973. And they did not approve it. It's important to me because the reason I went to prison is I opposed Operation Garden Plot, only I didn't know what it was. So that brought back the kinship I feel to Leonard Peltier and always have since that time. And I think this is such an important thing that Chauncey is doing, is to try to get his father's release. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
The Department of Defense Civil Disturbance Plan, also known by codename Garden Plot, like Zell's Brian Johnson just described, is a federal plan that allows U.S. Army and National Guard to respond to, quote, major domestic civil disturbances within the U.S., end of quote. Garden Plot came about in response to the civil rights movements and the Watts, Newark, and Detroit riots of the 1960s. It provides, quote, federal military and law enforcement assistance to local governments during times of major civil disturbances, End of quote. In the section of the plan describing the government's perception of the state of the nation at the time to justify garden plot, we can sense the fear from the establishment of the disenfranchised, as the document warns against racial unrest as well as anti-draft and anti-Vietnam elements. Garden plot was last activated to provide military assistance to civil authorities following the September 11, 2001 attacks. The Pentagon also activated it to, quote, restore order during the 1992 Los Angeles riots.
Loan me a minute, let me borrow your ear. I'll sing you a song about Leonard Peltier. He's gone so long in a federal jail, the innocent victim of a tangled tale. In South Dakota, where the fear has grown, the president's a watch from a mountain of stone. They say all people are free to roam. There ain't no freedom in the Indian home. How many have gone before? And tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian war?
Hi, this is Cindy Dixon. I'm on the Leonard Peltier caravan to the White House to request that Obama, President Obama, give clemency to Leonard Peltier. He's been in prison for 41 years, and he's a political prisoner. He shouldn't be in prison, and we are asking that he be released and made free so he can return to his family.
On Saturday, the caravan drove from Wyoming to Denver, Colorado, where they got to catch some rest.
Over the weekend, we really got some much-needed rest, you know, like sitting on your butt all day long seems like, you know, very easy, but a week of that is kind of, you need to take a break. So everybody took a break yesterday. I got in the steam room. Wish I had a sweat lodge, but you know how it is in the city. So, and Brent, them guys, they went hiking, I think. Oh, they just went to a hotel because of the mosquitoes. I guess they got beaten up. They had to stay there, watch TV, I think, or sleep. Probably sleep, but he took a nap. Laundry, they had a hot tub. So I guess we all took care of ourselves in a good way.
How many have gone before? And tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian war. The company spoke to the high command. We need the deeds to the Indian land to dig for oil and uranium ore. Maybe have to start a little Indian war. The orders came from way on high, and it was a job for the FBI. It won't be hard, all we'll have to do is just cause a little trouble and follow it through.
You're listening to a program about the Peltier Justice Ride that took place in July 2016. KBOO reporters Christopher Francisco and Brent Jorgensen joined the ride over the summer and sent audio content every day, which was used to produce a daily segment that aired on KBOO. This program is a compilation of the daily segments produced over the summer. Monday, July 18th, the Peltier Justice Ride left Colorado after a full day of rest and landed in a small town in Kansas, where finding a grocery store open at 8 p.m. was a real struggle. The riders set up camp and were hoping for hot dogs to accompany the storytelling event of the evening.
We're in Quincy, Kansas, and we can't find a grocery store in this little town. There's a Dairy Queen and Roger's Garage, and I think a church, and a bunch of cars all over, man. Huh. Is there a grocery store down here? Yeah, so we're going to go there, gather up some food, and then take it out there, some hot dogs, and, you know, that's what they're asking for. The rest of the crew is over at the camp, base camp, and there's a nice fire pit, and there's some wood, and not as many mosquitoes as there was before, I guess. So they want me to read my play, Kill the Savage Mind. I wrote a play, and we're going to do a campfire storytelling. In 2006, I went to New York City, Hunter College, and I took a class called Finding Your Voice with a bunch of New Yorkers. I did another workshop in Portland State, and you have to, like, slowly decolonize people's minds with the story, because there's a lot in there. It has to do with the boarding school experience, and has to do with this character named Yazzie. He finds his way home because he went to a Mormon replacement program, which they used to have on the reservation a long time ago. They took Navajo kids from the res and took them to Salt Lake City or around surrounding areas and had them work on the farm, and they went to school, and, you know, they took care of them. But so the story is about this little Navajo boy and the grandmother interacting with each other. And Yazzie is another character, main character, that's part of it. And, you know, the grandmother trying to teach the young boy the natural surroundings and natural way of being to man. And Yazzie, was, on the other hand, was trying to teach him how to read and write in the boarding school, how to be civilized. And this is the settings in the 60s and the 70s, 80s. So some things have never changed from the 1800s when Captain C. Pratt first established an Indian boarding school in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. So it started from all that, Captain C. Pratt, you know, underneath the War Department, decided to solve the Indian problem. And the policy, made a policy for all Native kids, you know, within age of 6 on up to attend boarding schools and get educated and get a trade and, you know, melt into the civilization, you know, the melting pot. So the story's about that. And Yazzie comes back around full circle. You know, he was fully dedicated to killing the savage mind. You know, he was part of it himself because he went through it, and he was trying to do the same thing to the little Navajo boy. I call him Don Boy. And so at the end, he finds out that, you know, he went back to the traditional way of being. And so that's what happened to that little boy. They're trying to put a square peg into a circle, which was very hard to do because you can never do that. You can never put a square peg in a circle. So to this day, it's still the same way with Native people. You can't put us, you know, push us into something, because that's not who we are. You know, we're indigenous people, you know.
What do you hope happens at the reading tonight?
Tonight, yeah. We're just sitting around the campfire, and we'll be talking. I'm hoping that they would understand where I come from, you know, like with the Nat tribe, you know, because the story is about this little Navajo kid. And I'm trying to probably with have them understand, you know, that we are human beings just like anybody else. You know, we're all different tribes, but we're, you know, we're people. So I'm just have fun storytelling, you know.
At the end of the reading of his play, Killing the Savage Mind, Christopher received a standing ovation. Are now halfway to Washington, D.C. But on the second day of the Peltier Justice Ride, KBOO reporters Christopher and Brent got pulled over by the police in Idaho as they got turned around in a rural community.
We're just driving down the road, you know, and you got two brown people and our red people here in a white community. We're just driving by and they saw us and they came after us and pulled us over and said we didn't have any taillights. And they asked for IDs and we're tired and I just wanted to get to the hotel and upload the video and the audio onto the internet. And then earlier we had like car trouble and stuff like that. So they pulled us over, asked us for an ID, and we just, you know, gave it to them. We didn't have time to really say, what am I being detained for? We'd probably still be there, but probably even tased or shot. I don't know. So we tried to avoid all that. We just gave it to them, you know. And they ran our name and came back, and, you know, they said they're going to run the dogs around the car. And we tried, you know, we said something, but they said that they can do that now without, you know, anything. They just run the dogs if they want to. So they did, and they found nothing, and, you know, we're good, clean Native people, you know, so we're just here for a cause, you know, helping our brother to make awareness for him for clemency. That's all we're trying to do, man. You know, so they ended up letting us go and finally made it back to the hotel later.
And they were asking you about the red piece of cloth that you have tied to the car. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, they saw the red cloth behind. Everybody on this caravan has a red cloth, so that way we watch each other, you know, and take care of each other. So you saw that one of the cops later came over to us and asked us what that red cloth was about, you know, why is it there? And we just told him we're part of the caravan. And he goes, oh, okay. So then we explained that's why we're coming from that campground over there. You know, we're just driving to the...